jumped up to me. That's why I had that in mind. Chris some praise, and because he works countless hours on trying to get some of those colorful characters you saw on the video together in one production at the same. So Chris, we really appreciate all your hard work, and I know everybody that's watching has got grace to extend as we continue to learn as a church, as all churches are continuing to learn on what it takes to make live stream work in a way that continues to not have.
Yeah, certainly. I'd really like to thank the members of Frank that put the time in there. You know, they're not pros, but this is all new to them, and they did a great job. I really appreciate it.
Listen, I want to thank you all for continuing to stay with us this morning. I hope last week you were able to see the bishop. He mentioned in his sermon the concept of accepting the new reality that Jesus is offering to us. And he went on as far to say that he hoped things didn't go back to the way things were prior to COVID-19. Now, when I heard these words, it caused me to think about all the hustle and bustle that has consumed my life. How I have allowed everything from my own personal expectations I place upon myself, as well as the expectations I allow others to place upon me, to trump my need of time to spend with family and friends. And when I love being a pastor and living out this lifelong call, the joy of life in the simple things has been gone from me for quite some time. And this pandemic has forced me, as well as all of creation, to take a breath and refocus. Ivy Rohde, the administrative assistant for the Green Forest United Methodist Church, she shared an email with me that gave a unique perspective about COVID-19. It reads saying this: COVID-19 pandemic has a profound impact on our world and our society, though isolating in place has been challenging for almost everyone. There has been an unexpected benefit. God has used this period to partially heal our world of the pollution that has become such an issue. Now, we as God's creation must try to learn from this situation and take the positive outcome to improve our world. I thought that was pretty interesting. I also have read an article back in March from a United Kingdom publication called Metro that stated that for the first time in many of the residents of Wuhan's life, they were actually not only able to see, but to hear the birds singing within their city. The article also went on to say that the waterways of Venice are clearer than they have been in years. And even Krakow, the second largest city in Poland, their residents are now able to see the Tatra Mountains again because they're usually blocked out from the smog caused by the city. I mean, there are many good things that are happening within our midst. And we know from Holy Scripture that all good things come from God. Yet, this new reality seems at times to be void of joy, optimism, and hope. I mean, many of my teacher friends have reached out to me to ask me to be in prayer with them because they are worried that this stay-home in order for the students will only increase their exposure to abusive situations within their homes. I have another friend who is a police officer who has shared with me that domestic abuse calls are on the rise. Yet, I want to remind us this morning, there is a silver lining within this pandemic, which I believe is the peace of God. Now, I know for those who are on the front lines, for those who are struggling with the effects of this virus, they would argue differently. But for people within my personal circle, this new reality has extended the opportunity for you and I to embrace a calmness, a peace that was missing prior to COVID-19. But for most, it has not been an experience of serenity or serendipity. If I may have your permission this morning to speak for all of us, we know that life's experiences can be void of joy, optimism, and hope. And every one of us that's watching this morning is longing for that new abundant life in Christ Jesus. But the reality of what this looks like can appear to be uncomfortable and can feel uncertain. You know, instead of letting our faith shape the social context with which we live, many times, at least for myself, I let the circumstances of the day shape my faith. I mean, it's a struggle I believe that every follower of Christ wrestles with. You know, one apostle who lived this breach of peace in the most vulnerable and authentic of ways was none other than the apostle Peter. And Peter wrote an epistle to a group of believers that were about to crack under the pressures of life. There's a portion within that letter where he contrasted the perishable with the imperishable. And I want us this morning to take a look at this letter. It's kind of one of those letters that's kind of nestled within the Bible, hidden toward the end of the New Testament. We'll be reading this morning from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. I encourage you to read them along with me. It says, verse 17 says, "Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God." At this time, usually we say, "This is the Word of God for the people of God," and everyone replies, Thanks be to God. Listen, will you join with me in a word of prayer again, please? Lord God, I just ask this morning that you take this time of expounding upon your Word to fill each person with joy in the assurance that you're in control, with confidence that everything will be all right, and with perseverance to stay faithful to your vision and your desires. May we see and feel just how precious we truly are to you. And in Christ's name I pray. You know, friends, God's Word is designed to be a source of strength and encouragement for our perseverance. Yet it challenges us to keep our eyes on the eternal while inviting us to walk into the big picture of God. Now, Peter, a man who lost sight of these things and denied Christ, wants you and I believe, to find joy, hope, optimism, and exuberance through this reading by remembering the imperishable truth for all of us who have faith in Christ and those who trust in God. You know, Peter begins by reminding us in verse 17 that the one we call Heavenly Father, the one we trust to judge us impartially, is truly just that. A loving, caring, guiding Father who has done all that is necessary to not only sustain our lives, but to provide for our needs and to nurture our very weary souls. My late grandmother had a plaque that I possess today, which reads, "I ask God for all things that I might enjoy life." And then it says, "God replied, I gave you life that you might enjoy all things." Now, Peter's instruction to the original readers was for them to respond to this gracious relationship with reasonable, obedient living. But let's not you and I miss that our relationship with God is one of provision and providence, not only for this life, but for the life that is yet still to come. I believe Peter wants us to hear this morning the affirmation that we are God's children. So precious that we were redeemed by the imperishable blood of Jesus Christ, as stated in verse 18. I mean, listen, I don't want to be a party pooper here, but everything within this life that you and I value will eventually perish. But the gift from God called salvation will never, never perish. Saying that, if you're watching this morning and you've never made the decision to allow Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, then my friend, there is no moment like this moment to choose to do that. It's very simple. You just say, "God, I know that I'm in need of you in my life. I know that my life has been void of you because I've chose for it to be void of you. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I need salvation that is provided through the Messiah, Jesus Christ." And just simply say, "God, as I acknowledge these things, I invite you to come into my heart to not only be my Savior, but to be my Lord, because I know that your will for my life is greater than my own will for my life." And if you've done that, my friends, and I want you to know that Christ has come into your heart and you are saved. Welcome to the family of God. And if you have just accepted Jesus Christ, or if you're watching this morning and you've been a follower of Christ for some time, I want you to know that we hold these things in common. And that is this: we have each been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ as our initiation into faith and obedience. I mean, Scripture tells us, not only in Romans, but also in Ephesians, that the faith that you and I possess is a gift from God. It's a gift that brings the poorest among us to the riches of the kingdom of God. It is a gift that takes the hardest of hearts and makes them pliable to the will of God. It takes hearts like mine and yours that may be filled this morning with confusion, concern, and chaos, and transforms them with attributes like patience, peace, and perfection in love. Nothing of Christ is blemished or defective. That means me and you, because we are in Christ, are not marked by our brokenness. All the treasures of the gospel are imperishable gifts extended from God to us. And that's good news. I mean, remember, friends, Peter lived through an experience that was as devastating, demoralizing, and demonic as any situation that you and I have ever faced. And if there was ever an individual outside of Christ himself who needed resurrection, it was the Apostle Peter. Peter witnessed the resurrection, and that gave him hope, joy, optimism, and exuberance for the present as well as the future. I mean, to get back to the normal, to the same old, was not what he longed for. And you say, "Well, preacher, how can you say that?" I say, look at John chapter 21. When Christ appeared to the disciples as he stood on the shore, if you remember reading those scriptures, Peter put his cloak around him and jumped out of the boat and swam to meet Jesus. And I share that, friends, because I want to remind you, Easter is all about you and I experiencing the newness of life. The same old, there is no more for any of us. If we go back to our reading from verses 20 and 21, we see here that Peter reminds us that Christ was prepared to die for us long before the creation of the universe. Peter wanted to encourage the readers of his day with this imperishable truth that Christ had them in mind when he chose to be the sacrificial lamb of all creation before the beginning of time. And to take this one step further, when Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross of Calvary, you and I were on his mind. You and I, as the people who were the original readers of this epistle, are chosen, have been chosen, to be God's children. And just as God had done a great work through Jesus Christ, we can hold fast to the promises of God doing a great work in us and through us. Now, does this mean that we will be void of human experiences? Well, let me answer that question by asking another question. Was Jesus void of human experiences? No. But friends, just because that's a truth, it doesn't change the imperishable truth of God wanting us to have a new way of life. One that is not void, of joy, hope, optimism, and exuberance. That is the abundant life Christ came to give us. That is the design of Christian living, evident by the fruit of the Holy Spirit. God did not ransom us from sin and death for us to go through this life full of fretfulness, fear, and faint-heartedness. To put our trust in Christ is to set our faith and hope deep in the imperishable truths of God. As one theologian writes, he says, this is important. Faith set in God is not faith that is found in our own ability to respond to God or in our own steadfastness. Rather, it is faith set in the consistency of God. You know, God loves us, church, without hypocrisy. To conduct ourselves as Easter people demands that we live into the sacrificial love of God in Christ. The relationship that Jesus has handed us through his suffering are to give you and I the assurance that our souls, our lives, and our futures all matter to God. Verse 23 serves as a reminder that just as Christ's resurrection is to eternal life, so also this new life and this new reality we find ourselves in is still in Christ and is grounded in this eternal gift. So every time you find yourself overwhelmed with life situations, overwhelmed with circumstances beyond your control, I want to remind you that we can open up God's Word and allow the imperishable truths of God to fill us with joy, hope, optimism, and exuberance. Letting these attributes become the experience that not only masters the moment, but masters our lives. Friends, you and I have been born anew, not of perishable, but imperishable seed. Reminded of this truth through the living and enduring word of God. I offer this to you.